The first two official candidates for president have thrown their hats into the ring, which is dangerous because their scalps are now exposed to deadly ultraviolet rays. But both Republican senators, Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, have said they don't believe that baloney anyway. They're on-the-record climate change denialists, raising some journalistic challenges for the coming campaign. Here's Ted Cruz last month on Late Night with Seth Meyers.
Satellite data demonstrate for the last 17 years, there's been zero warming, none whatsoever. It's why, you remember how it used to be called global warming? And then magically the theory changed to climate change?
Sure.
The reason is it wasn't warming, but the computer models still say it is, except the satellites show it's not.
Wait, what? Cruz's claim sounded fishy to Washington Post energy and environment reporter Chris Mooney.
Mooney actually called up one of the guys who does those satellite measurements and said, you know, does this interpretation of your work sound right to you? And the guy said, no, of course not. That's ridiculous.
That's David Roberts, a staff writer for the environmental news site Grist.org. When a candidate cites science to validate climate change denial, Roberts says, one journalistic tactic is to go to the source and see if the science is being warped. But that doesn't happen so often. As NYU media critic Jay Rosen recently blogged, denialist views are often reported just like any other campaign position, with no attempt to compare them to, you know, reality, which David Roberts agrees is a dereliction of journalistic duty.
At the very least, just note, Ted Cruz is wrong about this. As a journalist, if you're telling your audience over and over again that a politician is lying, at some point the audience has to care and respond, especially in U.S. campaign journalism. If you become the guy or gal who is always pestering people about climate change and asking these annoying follow-ups, pushing and pushing and pushing, pretty soon you're going to develop a reputation as a crusader. At a certain point, as a journalist, you need outside events to push climate onto the agenda. And then you can respond. But asking journalists to be the ones that push it onto the agenda might be sort of overloading journalists with more responsibility than they can handle.
Well, it's a structural conflict you're describing. The journalist's responsibility to be advocates of truth versus the anathema to most American journalists, at least, to be seen as an advocate for a point of view or a political position.
You know, if you're a journalist, how do you treat a candidate who says that the UN, through Agenda 21, is trying to establish world government via building bike paths in small American towns? That's ridiculous, too. Or death panels in Obamacare? Or what about the theory put forward by Dick Cheney, one of the most prominent Republicans in the world, that Obama's foreign policy is not merely weakening America, but that Obama has a secret plan deliberately to weaken and destroy America because of his whatever Kenyan colonialist. I mean, you know, these things are all transparently absurd, but they're also very widely believed in one political party and not the other. So how do you go around as a journalist saying these things are transparently absurd without appearing to be siding with one of the political parties?
You know, Jay Rosen suggested one, I think, kind of cynical option. I think he thinks it's cynical as well. He calls it savvy analysis. I call it the Politico approach. And that is to play it all as a horse race story, as a strategy and tactic story, as opposed to facing the underlying reality.
I mean, even more stories like that about climate would be better than no stories about climate, right? But the problem is that climate doesn't even really give good material for that kind of story because the political analysis is simple. If you're on the right, you deny it. And if you're on the left, you have to, you know, notionally support doing something about it. It's a clean, polarized issue. So there aren't even really good strategy stories. That's been true for a while now. I do think it's actually changing. I do think climate is starting to sort of organically push itself into the news more often now. This is what environmentalists have been waiting for decades. The interesting political question now, and this I think is an interesting question for journalists too. What do you do if Republicans just don't want to talk about the science at all, refuse to discuss it, and just focus on saying that any regulations are going to destroy the economy, which is much more familiar ground for them?
Ted Cruz isn't a scientist, and I'm not an economist. I know Paul Krugman has spittle flying from his mouth when that argument is broached because he says there's absolutely no evidence, none whatsoever, that any previous government regulation on clean air and clean water, you know, have ever created any kind of doom or even harm to the economy.
This is, I think, actually a journalistic failing that is in some ways longer standing and more corrosive than whatever journalistic failings you have around climate science, which is, you know, as long as I've been paying attention, every time a new regulation is proposed, literally every time, conservatives and business say it's going to destroy the economy, we're going to have to close a bunch of businesses, it's going to cause blackouts or reliability problems. And then the regulation is passed and the economy continues growing and the air gets cleaner and people get sick less and the economic doom never materializes. But then you move to the next episode, a new regulation is proposed, they say the same thing, and journalists never seem to let that record of error affect the way they judge the new question. It's as though every time we face this question, we're starting all over again. And I think it's just because there's never consensus in economics the way there is in physical sciences. So it's always he said, she said, forever and ever, amen.
And therefore, I propose another tack that journalists could take, which also hinges on a conservative article of faith. And that is when a candidate denies climate change or says it's too expensive to address. You could say, is it the president's primary role to protect the American public from all threats, foreign and domestic? Why, of course it is. Well, then, why are you against regulating fossil fuels, the burning of which will kill our children's children and make America uninhabitable?
What about the Pentagon? What about the military? I mean, the Pentagon now has released several reports saying that climate change is going to be the number one driver of resource conflicts and forced migrations around the world, and that a destabilized world is going to be dangerous for America, and therefore it is a national security imperative to address this. At a certain point, you get, they call it epistemic closure. You're just so convinced of your position that there is no such thing as counter evidence. And I think a lot of conservatives are just so dug in on this. I honestly don't know what could shift it.
I guess about the time the East River is part of the ocean, that might do the trick.
Well, it's funny. You know, one of the states that's most directly and immediately threatened by climate change is Florida. And as a matter of fact, sea levels have already risen enough that Miami is being regularly partially flooded now. And so there's this question of what's Miami going to do about it? But, you know, Florida has a Republican governor that has more or less forbidden state officials from talking about climate. And so literally you're going to see a state go underwater even as it flails in denial like this. And you sort of have to wonder, like, what amount of evidence will do it?
So it's like the Black Knight, David, from Monty Python.
It's only a flesh wound, right?
It's only a flesh wound. David, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
David Roberts is a staff writer for grist.org. That's it for this week's show. On the Media is produced by Kimmy Regler, Mira Sharma, Alana Casanova-Burgess, Kasia Mihailovich, and Jesse Brenneman. We had more help from Jenna Cagle, and our show was edited this week by our executive producer, Katya Rogers. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Greg Rippon. Jim Schachter is WNYC's vice president for news. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. Brooke Gladstone will be back next week. I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for On the Media comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.